You're lucky.
Why?
I listened to this.
I didn't. I'm not
Okay.
fucking going to. I don't care what you say.
No, it's so you don't have to. So.
Yes, exactly. So I don't have to. Because I'm not fucking listening to that. Anyways.
You want to lead?
Sure, I guess.
Yeah, I led last time for sure.
Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, episode 66, the irrelevant podcast about music, music culture, and bullshit.
It's irrelevant. Not irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. Very relevant.
Sean's in a mood today.
Who gives a fuck? Anyways, it's because all the Lils fucking didn't fucking make their albums again because you can't trust people. There's no Lil Wayne, no Lil Pump, which I said I told you so whatever. We have Brockhampton and Aphex Twin EP, and there you go. And then some new stories and stuff. It's gonna be really short.
There really isn't a lot that happened music wise, and but this is actually good because we can have a dense episode and we can just talk about the music that came out this week. Sean has the most like
eight fucking songs. Okay.
Sean has the most mad face. How's your week been, Sean?
Fuck this.
So let's put Sean in a better mood and talk about XXXTentacion and Lil Pump. They released their producer, I Love Makonnen, who is like the Metro
Boomin SoundCloud.
He's more like the Zaytoven of SoundCloud rap, actually.
Fuck me.
And he kind of just mashed up a couple of quotes from Lil Peep and a couple of quotes on XXXTentacion to this like really grungy, shitty song. The kind of song that people who don't have a lot of knowledge in music would actually find musically passionate and inspiring. But it's another chance for us to play Double Death 2000. Oh my god, if you're watching on video, I hope you caught that little 4K special effect from Sean's mouth.
Right.
Follow Audio Face Pod on social media for some reason.
Death corner.
So yeah,
posthumous son. Are they gonna have a fucking Lil Peep and XXXTentacion hologram show now? Coachella 2020.
Okay, that would sell out so hard. By the way,
I know it would.
They would need
give me
five...
the idea first. I want a trademark and give me my fucking money.
They would need 5 weeks of Coachella, just for all the people who would actually go to that shit.
Right. The amount of fucking humans.
And then I would like try to be one of Elon Musk's artists that goes to Mars. It'd be great.
Or you're gonna die
here. So I'm gonna die. Isn't that better than 5 weeks of hologram XXXTentacion and...
I would rather die.
Thank you. Surprisingly, rat beef is good for the game. No one's been saying this. Isn't that weird?
I mean, I like, guess.
We've been saying this.
Yeah, we have been saying this.
Like all the time. Everyone in the know has been saying this. Rat beef is good for the game. Case in point, Eminem's Killshot had the biggest rap debut in YouTube history.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so because of the hype built around it, because
so
the of
Trader the Trader Joe's Invitational.
The Trader Joe's, how about the Sprouts Convocation?
Can we do the Pavilion's Face Off? We gotta be a little bougie, you gotta go to Pavilion's.
Billions and Pavilion's?
Billionaires, billions and Pavilion's. It's a good one, actually. Christ.
Set it up like the fight between Granddad and Stink Meaner in season one of the Boondocks.
No, do it in season one of the Boondocks where they throw a chair and just starts a fight.
Eat dirt!
Exactly.
Oh man, okay, so that's the unfinished business from the Rat Beef segment. Now let's talk about Brockhampton's newest album, Iridescence. It was like...
More blue people.
More blue people. More super saturated sound effects, more all caps.
More garage rap.
Yes.
As I call it. That's, that, I was trying to think of it I remember when we did Brockhampton last year, I go, how do you explain Brockhampton? I go, garage rap is the best way I can put it. Because I was thinking of like some underground UK garage house, like
just yeah.
some really raw fucking electronic sound, and that's what Brockhampton sounds like. You want to go first? Want me to go first? I'm good, fuck.
Could you go first?
Sure. That's my brain right now.
There's 15 songs, 48 minutes long.
Yeah, I was about damn able to do that.
Okay, well, no.
So, the... I got a little fun at me. First song goes just hard, just fucking takes off running, goes full gas. Like, Jesus Christ, this is really garage rappy. The second song, Thug Life, kind of just chills down out of nowhere. And that kept happening in the album.
Yeah.
It was just so all over the place where it'd go super hard, then hit the brakes. It's like if you hit every red light going in Irvine at 2 in the morning, because you got like right by the Hainers.
A place with extremely wide streets.
Exactly. The place in Tustin.
No one, like,
in Tustin, actually. The Tustin Hainers.
One of the few areas of the Los Angeles greater metropolitan area, if we really want to be that generous to Orange County, the Texas of the West. Vote Beto O'Rourke, hashtag no politics. Then it's just really clear, and it's actually really one of the few empty spots of LA as far as traffic goes.
Well, that street, yes, at 2 in the morning.
Point is,
you go fucking 95 miles an hour, hit a red light. 95 miles an hour, hit a red light. 95 miles
allegedly.
An hour, hit a yellow light, go through it, and then hit a red light immediately. Try to go on the freeway, hit another red light. That's what this album felt like. It was just stop, go, stop, go, stop, go, stop, go. Like, it's you're teaching some fucking coke addict how to drive. I mean, there is good songs on there. I did like the opening song, and I like Tape. There's a couple others, but again, like, they have, I mean, they're very distinctive. They're not showboaty. They're in your face.
Max du Berlin?
Yeah. That was the one I came, yeah, that was the third song. I'm going to say that's the one I came after. The slow song. Yeah, because that was kind of in between. That was only one of the only in-between songs. And then they had two songs that were like a minute and a half to our kind of connectors as well. But overall, I liked the album. It's still not my thing. Also, I really realized I've been rapped out for the year. I've been tapped out. I really, really have been to the point where I tried going in this like with an empty mind. I go, I literally don't want to listen to this. Not because of Brockhampton, but because of the genre. I'm tired of it. I'm so done.
Sean is defeated, so like...
Yeah, the trap officially defeated me. I don't want to listen to any rap for the next, like, 6 months. Maybe 3 years.
Minimum.
Minimum facility. Like you're in Boulder County Jail or something.
Well, lucky for you...
I don't know, they're making, like, 4 more albums.
I will get to my review now then. But at the end of Fabric, they do answer one question I really did have, which was, where are all of the best Years of Our Lives songs? Because those are the singles that were coming out originally, like 1999 Wildfire. They had like years and names. And we all kind of thought that was going to be the next album. And then this got announced all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And we're like, is this the new album? Did it change? Mm-hmm. Clearly this is a new album. But at the end of Fabric, it sounds like the intro to the best Years of Our Lives. Because they start referencing it and saying it's about to happen.
Okay, so, I didn't even think of that.
So I'm glad I got an answer to that question. That's really good. This took 2 listens for me. Actually,
it'll probably honestly take me a couple.
It took me 3 listens. The first listen was, I couldn't make it through 6 seconds of the first song. Because I was just like, I can't do this right now.
Yeah, no, that was me. And I'm like, I just literally sat down with a pillow on my head like, you're going to listen to this album. Because that's what I do for this fucking podcast. You people, you better listen.
I appreciate you, Sean. Yes.
Going through shit week, I go and I sit down, I go, I really don't want to listen to anything remotely in the general vicinity of trap. I go that and she's like, psh. I'm like, oh, my brain is not ready. Please stop.
It's been inundating.
Thank God it was only 48 minutes long, though.
Yeah.
If it was 2 hours, I would have said, go fuck yourself.
It was short. It was a lot more refined than previous... Brockhampton albums have been. I mean, other Brockhampton albums I think have had about the same number of songs, but they've been even more all over the place than before.
The last album was mental. I remember that.
Yeah.
It feels more produced.
Yes, that's for sure. It feels like they...
Cleaned up.
Yeah, exactly.
They got a haircut.
Yes.
Their hair is still wild. They still dye their tips, but like cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about dyeing.
You've been talking about that for a while. I'm down, but.
Think I might do it.
I have wand hair now, so you can do whatever you want.
That's very true. Nevertheless, it kind of what I mentioned with Bob Moses last week or a couple weeks ago, where within a range, they kind of have a sound. Brockhampton's range is much different, but yeah. That range is getting smaller.
Mainly because of how much they put out.
Yeah. Which is actually interesting because for once, there's a band that's iterating very quickly. Because usually when bands or artists put shit out too quickly, Drake, then it all just ends up sounding the same. But there's actually good progression of Brockhampton's sound through this album. There's really like, even the slow songs, although they're kind of intermittently placed, I think there should be some that kind of go together a little bit more rather than just being this, that. And I think that's kind of a blessing and a curse of being a 13-person group that's kind of all over the place across the country.
You have so many minds that go together at the same time. It's a lot.
But it's like a weird experiment in that sense. And I think it's actually working pretty well. They're iterating very quickly. But maybe because they have a lot of people in that band, they're iterating in a good way. I was definitely impressed by this album. And there are a lot of songs that I liked. And even the songs I didn't like as much the second time around. The second time around, or definitely not the first time around, because like I said, I only got through the first 36 seconds. I found that the lyrics actually were approaching deeper topics. Mm-hmm. They kind of addressed the sexual abuser guy who was left, Amir Van, I think, who left Brockhampton in the summer that we talked about that. And they talk about addressing that. I think there's one line that's like addressing skeletons that you didn't even know you had in your closet. So they're kind of like owning that and coming to terms with it, which is a really transparent way of doing it that I think shows real reflection rather than the usual denial of everything. Shout out Brett Kavanaugh. hashtag new politics. Nevertheless, I've been saying nevertheless a lot. This is a pretty good album. I like it. We'll use trap snares for this ranking system.
Okay.
The more trap snares, the worse.
Out of
as many as you want.
Jesus.
This is the arbitrary ranking scale.
I don't know, fucking 3 trap snares? That's good. For me, it's hard because I'm not in the mood because of just the year and my week and everything. And I think if I give it more listens, I would like it more. Especially because it's hard, literally. I only listened to it once. I should have listened to it more times because of just how much sound there is in the album. That's what I did with their last ones. I listened to it a couple of times and I got more. And it'll take a little bit for me to get into, so. But it's not bad.
Good on you for being honest. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's, for some people it may be a little bit rough at first, but I think there's actually a lot of depth there. So definitely it's worth a listen. There's no good segue into this, but Suge Knight's going to jail.
I may be in hell, but at least I ain't in jail. Is he gonna, can he fucking die already? Because this fool's fucking killed people plenty of times.
He's got a pretty good KD.
Yeah, dude, fuck. he's that asshole running around the fucking battlefield where you're just trying to kill him and you can't. Like, you use noob tubes trying to kill him. You get fucking rocket launchers, and this fucker somehow dodges them. And you're just like, then you leave the server. He joins in your server, and you're just like, you just turn off the Xbox.
That's just grieving at that point.
Right.
But, yeah, he was charged in the January 2015 hit-and-run death of Terry Carter after a dispute near the set of a commercial film Straight Outta Compton. Which is a little on the nose, don't you think?
That's fucking ironic.
As you know, he has a bit of a history with Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Tupac Shakur. A little bit of a history is a light way of putting it. I absolutely encourage you to look into it. Look into it.
Please look into it.
Anyways, this might be a contender for the Vanilla Ice Award, but I really don't. I don't know if you got to listen to it beforehand, but let's talk about this. The Weeknd and Daft Punk are being sued over Starboy. There's a singer-songwriter who wrote a song called Huyo in 2009. Her name's Yasmina. And she claims that the track kind of stole elements from... Claims that Starboy stole elements from that. What do you think? You have strong opinions.
First off, The Weeknd's really whack. Second off...
Weeknd perm.
This is...
Superfly.
my fucking hair. Fucking priestess hair. But he can't get that many bitches. Anyways, yeah. This is getting kind of a little out of hand because every week I'll like see four of these. But sue them for songs that they recorded in like 1922 or some random shit. Be like, you stole my song. Be like, what the fuck do you want?
I haven't seen
some of them. There's been like pretty bad, which we've done. I haven't listened to it, so I don't know.
Kanye West is pretty bad.
Kanye's pretty bad. Like, he should rip that shit. And then there's the one that ripped off of J. Cole.
Canada?
Yeah, Canada.
Yeah.
That was just blatantly bad. I go, you're not even trying at that point. This album came out like 3 months ago. Because that fuck, I mean, they mix. I mean, look at Discovery. That's what they just get songs that they randomly found and they made it their own, which is what they're amazing at doing.
And you can clear those. There's like a legal way to do this.
They did clear them, exactly. And I don't know about Starboy because it's a...
I did.
Weekend album, so I don't know what fucking Abel, whack ass hair, whatever the fuck his last name is gonna do with it. But 5 million, they got 5 mil. 5 million is fucking pennies for. They rubbed their balls of $5 million.
I don't know exactly how much the financial amount of that is, or says, whether or not they can.
Yasmina's reportedly suing Daft Punk for 5 million, or Daft Punk and The Weeknd for 5 million.
Oh yeah, that's not.
They rub their balls with $5 million.
I mean, like, it's going to sting, but not as...
Stuck. They'll be like...
It's not going to... Fucking chuck that in. They didn't even make it on the top 30 list we did last week or whatever. But I listened to the song.
Oh, you did?
And all it really copies is the way The Weeknd kind of goes through verses and the verse parts of the song. The...
Yeah, then that's not... Because Daft Punk didn't do that part, I don't think.
Well, they produced the song, so they have credit on it.
I would say because they did the beat.
Yeah, but...
I don't know who does the rhythms and stuff. That should be other... Okay.
Well, either way, that's the only part of it. It doesn't have the chorus that's similar. It doesn't have the bridge that's similar. It's...
So it's just it's a little that, stretching?
Yeah, it's definitely a stretch, in my opinion. I'm trying not to even be biased because I kind of did like that album, not The Weeknd too much, but it's gotta give credit where credit is due. And I do like Daft Punk, so there's
that. We definitely like Daft Punk. I hate The Weeknd, so. But there are a couple songs that are my guilty pleasures and I hate that I like them, but that's one, Water Under the Bridge.
So
yeah, I mean, that's something that's interesting that we're seeing more and more of, but especially as more and more music comes out, it's just, there's only so much you can do creatively, because now, especially in the social media age where everybody hears shit, you go, okay, what can you do now?
Yeah, it's easier to create music than ever, and it's not like music wasn't already starting to feel constrained. It's like there are only so many notes, and you can make many combinations of things.
I mean,
things,
it's an endless possibility of notes, but it's not...
We've been making music for thousands of years, though. Many people, more people have been making more music exponentially.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I mean, it's impossible to make everything, but at the same time, it's very easy to make something that sounds similar if you have the same idea. Think of it as car manufacturers make the same idea.
Yeah.
Stuff that looks similar. Houses, technology, everything. I mean, that's just human nature because everybody's influenced by some thing in history and they go, oh, let's try this. And then it ends up sounding quite similar. So
there's one thing I want to mention before we go to the next story, which was a game changer from earlier this week that's kind of related to the topic. So Spotify is now going to start letting artists directly upload music to their platform, kind of like SoundCloud. So that kind of reminded me of that because we were saying how quickly you can make music and distribute music. Well, now Spotify, which is one of the largest streaming services, especially if you count free users, and definitely one of the largest if you're counting paid, is now going to let people directly upload music to the platform. So it's going to... On the one hand, maybe it'll be a totally different culture from SoundCloud, or maybe SoundCloud rappers will just go, hey, more money's over here. So
we'll see.
I don't know what that'll do for music, but it's definitely a game changer kind of thing.
We'll see.
Aphex Twin released this EP called Collapse last week, But last week we talked about a lot, so I moved it to this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was still worth talking about.
I'd say Fixed Twin. I like him. So.
5 songs, 28 minutes long. John, you go ahead and.
I did first one last time.
Okay, sure. It is experimental. I mean, like, you're hosting the episodes. So I figured you were just doing.
Oh, I mean, it is it's experimental as fuck. I mean, that's Aphex Twin.
Yeah.
How long have they been around for?
Let me look that up. Continue.
Speaking. Anyways, because I mean, there's some of the stuff alive and the live.
Well, him first of all. Is well, there's one a person. Lot of, I didn't know.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's funny. There's a lot of stuff from him that I like, and there's a lot of stuff I hate from him that I hate. But that's because he's experimental as fuck. And again, I say EDM using it loosely because it's just a way to describe it being lazy as fuck.
It's like,
but I mean, I know he started his stuff in the 90s. I just don't know if it was early 90s, late 90s or what.
It was early 90s. Early 90s? Pretty much.
But because, yeah, it's being in house circles and stuff, you'll hear some of his stuff and people mixing his records and everything. Absolutely. So, but anyways, this one's interesting. Extremely experimental, just fucking with a lot of electronics is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Probably got new mixes and stuff. But I mean, it is refreshing in a way to hear experimental. I don't like using EDM.
Electronic
music.
It's not, again, because it's experimental, it's going to be difficult to kind of pinpoint genres as we usually would.
It's literally just experimental electronic music.
Some of it is housey, some of it's mm-hmm. a little bit trancey,
which is not a little turn from what we've been dealing with the past couple of years of just EDM. We're doing the same shit over and over and over and over and over and over again, which, you know, I've gotten tired of. And it's always nice to hear someone just experiment with sounds, new technologies, new things that they get, and we go, yeah, fuck it, let's see what I can make. And that's pretty much what this is. Starts off mental and ends mental. That's the best way I can describe it. I'm trying to think of words that describe it. You have to listen to it.
It's all over the place, but it's still good to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I found it soothing and exciting. There's kind of just a lot to offer there. It messes with, I love when songs play with time signatures a lot.
That's shit.
It does that right in the first song, especially. And a little bit throughout the album. And yeah, it just really shows what you can do when you push music to not quite its limits, but more than what most people do. How many trap snares?
I'll do another 3.
3? So this is about as good as Brockhampton's album to you?
Yeah. They're both experimental all over the place. And I quite enjoy them. They're not my favorite thing on earth, but. I don't mind them.
I would have. So coming in, I was really curious to how you would review albums and view them in generally. But I didn't know how you would. I thought you would really not like Brockhampton and really, really enjoy Aphex Twin. I found that you now kind of like them evenly, which was different than expected.
Because they're not my favorite thing and they're not my least favorite thing. Aphex Twin is close, but it's not my favorite genre of electronic music. My favorite is underground deep house,
right?
Which, you know, my favorite artist is Scream, and I like a lot, I like Dead Mouse too because he kind of blends them together. And then Brockhampton is I appreciate the effort, basically, is the way I can see it. And again, I'm giving them benefit of the doubt because I only listened to it once. So if I listen to it again, I know I'll like it. I'll probably end up enjoying it a bit more than I did the first couple of times or first listen. So, and now we get to things I hate.
T.I. is starting a trap museum, or like a little gallery pop-up exhibition thing, marking the 15th anniversary of T.I.'s album Trap Music. And it's gonna have like different references to Rick Ross, Future, Gucci Mane, 21 Savage.
The only one I like.
And it is, I'm glad that they're celebrating trap. It is blown up and we have our qualms with it, but it is popular now. And it came from, like, the streets. I will give credit where credit is due to there. So yeah, you can have a museum to it. I just like art and I like museums. So maybe I just like give it a pass, but you're all trapped out. Okay.
If you want to make a museum, make a museum. Who gives a fuck? But I'm not. But I'm not going to that.
You don't want to come to Atlanta?
Fuck no.
You don't want to listen to Kanye West Yandy?
Kanye West. I didn't know. Can you just go back to your nuclear bunker shelter in Wyoming and fuck off forever? Claiming to be broke. Okay, Adidas, can you please give me money because I'm broke? How the fuck are you broke, fucking dumbass?
Okay.
I'm towing the line. I know exactly when I can get bleeped and I'm not being bleeped. That's not because you're angry. You're angry, your brain works the most.
He is...
Yeezus sequel. Alright, there was a couple songs on Yeezy I did like, so... And then the rest of it was professional...
Buffoonery. I think Yeezus is the last album from Kanye West that I think...
That felt like...
He
was still a musician-ish. He was transitioning to being a professional celebrity buffoon on Yeezus. Yeah. And then after Yeezus, then it's just... Because there was like two or three actually good songs on Yeezys, fuck me. And then it was, the rest was dog shit.
Yeah, and kind of the same with Life of Pablo. Which one?
There's only like two, maybe one.
Yeah, and I hated how it kept getting edited afterwards. So it just made shit worse. But thank you, Sean, for sticking it out. You are a trooper. Popping in this bitch. You are a trooper. It's been a rough week. You're going to have a...
I have race.
Race, but listen. Roosevelt.
We got Roosevelt. Thank you, Jesus.
John Butler Trio, which I think you'll like.
Oh, yeah.
Logic, but not trap logic. It'll be like hip-hop logic.
I like logic in general.
Okay.
I tend to like his stuff. I like the two... There's two artists in trap I like, which are 21 and Logic. And... Bishop Nehru, but he's not. Bishop Nehru's on the line because he'll make trap and he'll make rap.
That's Logic.
Like, yeah, Logic. Exactly. That's why I like Logic a lot too. But because Elevators 1 and 2 is like half trap, half rap, and it was good. But.
It's Elevators is mostly rap.
Yeah.
I would say it's definitely mostly rap. But the Emperor, Bishop Nehru's new groove.
Bishop Nehru's new groove, but he has Bulby's Trap Anthem, which I will still listen to because.
He actually.
Shit's brilliant.
Audio Face exclusive, kind of, because I don't know if he's going to be talking about like. He mentioned this post and he deleted it on Instagram really quickly, but he made a trap version of the Office theme song.
Please, Lord, I need that in my life.
I don't know how Comcast is going to clear that one, but...
Dude, NBC's all over that dick.
And next week there might be Dylan Francis, but other than that...
But that... We're going to be interested in that because it'll be Latin American on a fucking sabbatical Dylan Francis coming back with a sombrero and fucking Mexican flip-flops.
In the words of Granddad, okay, Whitey.
Okay, Whitey. Right.
Thank you so much for watching this episode. It's actually in full on YouTube. We're doing a little experiment where you can watch this whole thing in full, mostly. I think the last couple of minutes of the video will be weird, but it's chill. Sean. Lol. Thank you for...
I'm done.
Thank you for bearing this out with me. If you want to follow him on Twitter and his triathlon thirst traps, potentially, he is going to be...
Stay away from me. Away from
on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. Shout out Ken. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan.
Speaking of that, I gotta figure out what the fuck I'm doing tomorrow.
And Instagram again from the internet. Sean is gonna die soon. It was nice knowing you.
Bye.
Looks like we might have made it to the end.
We made it to the end.
Assuming a certain
shit, that's such a good song. Shut up, Blur.
Assuming there isn't a certain flake that I work with who doesn't flake tomorrow, we might have a bonus episode that will enrage Sean. But then Sean will get to respond on the next episode of Audio Face. It'll be kind of cool. But stay tuned for that. Make sure you subscribe. Tell people to subscribe. If he doesn't, I can ruin his career. Anyways, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.